I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I want to be a man cub, and stroll right into town, and be just like the other.
My bad, Joseph. You're live.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX.
This software has a mind of its own.
And this is The Ape Show.
Yeah.
Of course, we reviewed The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Both gave it big thumbs up. You gave it a breakthrough.
And our primatologist liked it, too.
He was very good, by the way.
Yeah, he was excellent.
Very, very interesting.
And did you ever see Dunstan Checks In?
No.
Unfortunately.
I think too silly.
That's a kid movie, right?
Kind of, yeah, I think so. So it's about a little monkey. Yeah. And I think that Paul Rubens might be in it. My pen pal Paul Rubens. Have fun. Have fun. Go mad.
Do you go to the movies with him?
Yeah, of course.
Careful with that.
So you were that youngster that accompanied him to that film.
All right. Let's talk about Dunstan Checks
In. We know we love him deep down.
Yeah, this is a great family film. I liked it when I was young. I think, wasn't it the kid from
Santa Claus?
Santa Claus, yeah.
Yeah, I believe
Tim
so.
Allen.
Tim Allen. Yeah, oh, very good. Very good.
At least Dave got
at least you,
one.
Yes,
got
at least you said Tim Allen instead of Paul Judd.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the great singers from the Judds.
Very good. Well, let's talk about a few other movies that came out this weekend. Well, actually, just one, because it's really kind of a quiet week at the theater. There was a few smaller movies. They asked me if I wanted to review. I took a look at them, and I said, I'm not interested.
Like what?
Wow.
There was a few.
I know I'm going to love those movies.
Foreign films? Do you like foreign films?
Sometimes.
Okay. A Roman Polanski movie?
Yeah, I usually like Roman Polanski movies, even though he's wanted in the U.S.
Okay, well, maybe I will send you the CD then.
Do so.
All right, well, but one movie that I did want to check out, because I like Nicolas Cage. You like Nicolas Cage?
I like him, but I think he's had a string of not so good movies recently.
Okay, yeah, he's a little insane. I don't know.
Didn't he lose all his money?
Probably, you know.
He did. His accountant and stuff robbed him blind.
Oh, wow.
Well, Dave,
really?
He might need our help now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he needs a new CPA, Dave.
Yeah. Oh.
Really? They actually robbed him?
Yeah, he had like five or six houses all over the world, and he had to sell them all to cover his... And
then he
was like, you know, desperately seeking work to pay for his bills.
Desperately seeking Susan.
But he's...
Well, I was going to say, I'll say this. I was watching The Rock, or part of The Rock, a few weeks ago, of course, from like 96.
Oh, not Dwayne Johnson.
No, he's great, too. Oh. But with, of course, Sean Connery. Great movie, great action movie back in the day. Nicolas Cage with Face Off, The Rock, Con Air, is like the
Snake Eyes
trio. Snake
Eyes.
It was all right.
Come on.
But you know what? The characters he played, the way he did, things were great. I mean, he was really one of the best action stars of that time. Just a good thing about him. But movies he's in now, even when they're good or he does a good acting job, just seems so much different. Or the type of characters he has are way different. And, you know, if he could go back to what he was doing in the 90s, great. But I don't think it's possible because I just don't think he has that... physique anymore.
Well, I think what's happening is he was taking anything he could to pay his bills. I'm thinking that's what happened.
And that's probably a good portion of it.
Well, there is a new Nicolas Cage movie out. Just came out yesterday. It's called Rage. We're going to talk about it in just 1 second. But before we do that, I want to give out the phone number in case you have seen any movies, regardless of when they came out. If it came out on DVD, if they're in theaters, give us a call, 602-252-1480. Again, that's 602-252-1480. If you want to say a yay or a nay, or maybe we haven't reviewed it, maybe you checked it out on DVD.
Yeah.
You want to give a shout out to it. Give us. Because I am just one person. I know that I'm a highly regarded film columnist that Eric would never make fun of. But
you're one of the best film columnists in town.
And producer. Is that what I am?
Yes,
a producer of the show,
I would call
or am
you
I a
producer,
creative
yes.
director?
You guys are co-producers. Joseph, you get the guests and handle the shows. And Eric, you handle whatever you do behind there.
I push buttons over on
and
the
other
side of the glass.
And you eat delicious salad throughout the
show. If it wasn't for me, you would not...
I forgot to bring a salad.
Oh.
If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't know if Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was any good.
I brought tuna salad.
Nor would you have an ape show.
No, I would say it was good, though.
Dave's not paying attention. He's playing on his iPhone.
What are you playing?
His luxury iPhone.
He's playing Angry Birds.
Yes.
Well, I never played that.
Joseph, I did see a movie, actually, a few weeks ago, and I don't think I remember to talk about it.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it in just a second, because Rage. remember what it is.
Rage. I'll write it down.
Nicolas Cage, you know, Rage in the Cage.
Oh, yeah.
Plays
Sage.
Reformed criminal.
But we won't say the word that starts with P.
Okay.
Cage, Rage.
Nicolas Cage plays a reformed criminal who, when his daughter is kidnapped, rounds up his old crew and seeks his own brand of justice. So did you see the trailer for this film?
I did indeed.
What'd you think?
It looks like another Nicolas Cage action film. Might be good only if the plot holds up. And I can't tell through the trailer if the plot holds up. But other than that, it could be one of these series of no hits.
Well, with Rage, you get exactly what you expect from a Nicolas Cage movie.
Some rage?
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of yelling and screaming and, rage. Exactly. And they named it really properly here. The emotion at an intensity level turned up as far as it can go seems to be the only one that the actor is capable of portraying nowadays, unless you consider crazy an emotion.
What was the movie that he did not
Bad
too long
Lieutenant?
Ago? No, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But that was
Joe.
A remake of the Harvey Keitel, right?
Yeah.
But no, there was another movie where his wife was raped or something, and he was in the hospital, and some guy comes up to him and says, "We can take care of these people that raped your wife."
I can't remember.
Don't know
that
one.
I can't remember.
I'll
that
try
one.
To find
I know,
out
I know
what that
Drive
was.
Angry.
But I don't think I've seen that.
I mean,
that wasn't so bad.
Knowing was pretty good.
Knowing.
It could have been
next.
Better. I didn't like the ending. Or. Well, yeah.
They
next,
were both kind of similar.
Moore,
we're
going to
be talking about next in a couple in a couple weeks.
Good
in the
stuff.
Next 2 weeks. For our
I see Peter Stormare is in the movie. That guy's in everything.
Yeah, he's of course he's kind of a bad guy, right?
Yeah, he always plays kind of a jerk or a bad guy.
Yeah, Prison Break and all that. But blaming Cage completely would be unfair. Especially when the director here appears to be so obsessed with gratuitous violence and stereotypical characters that he forgets the fact that action is not entertaining unless it is accompanied by at least some sort of significance. In other words, as you said,
no plot.
Some sort of plot.
It's
got a plot,
but
it's not a plot that, you know, it's a one-note plot.
Wow, I save time just looking at the trailers. I'm usually right about them.
Wow, yeah. He's got 7 movies in production right now.
Oh,
well,
my.
He's got to make up some of that
money. Not only that.
He's a busy man.
But I'm looking here, and maybe Trespass is what you were talking about, Eric, with Nicole Kidman, perhaps, and Cam Giganet. He's in one called Seeking Justice, where he
that
plays.
Was it.
That was
I
it?
Think, I think
Seeking
that was
Justice,
it.
That was it. You're right.
All right, with January Jones.
Yes.
Okay.
That one had a couple different titles, and, you know, Rage also had a couple of different.
Jones.
Rage was originally called Tokarev.
It was?
Yeah, it was originally called Tokarev, and I remember Seeking Justice had like 2 or 3 different titles before it was finally released. This has been sitting on the shelf. You know, if you like Nicolas Cage and you like all the, you know, yelling and that, number one, get help. Number two, go see this movie before you get the help, because you probably will enjoy it, and I have to admit, I do like watching Nicolas Cage act insane. I do like watching that. It's just I wish that I actually had fun and there was some sort of, like, reward for doing so. So I'm giving Rage a thumbs down.
I'm giving the trailer a thumbs down.
Okay. Well, but we didn't get to a couple movies. I'm going to talk about 3 DVDs, but before we do that, what did you see?
I may have mentioned it 2 weeks ago, and I forgot, but Nonstop with Liam Neeson. I forgot if
that's
I did.
That's on DVD, new release.
And I remember, you reviewed it. I forgot what you thought about it, so I just wanted to get that first.
It was either a very mild thumbs up, or I'm kind of thinking that it was a mild thumbs down.
And I'll agree with a mild thumbs up. The thing is about it is it could have been a big thumbs up throughout the movie. It was suspenseful. There was some twists and turns, and I do like what the kind of twist ended up being. I did think it was pretty unique, but something was missing. It's one of those you can't put your hand on it, but something was sort of out, something missing. If they added maybe a little extra or, maybe maybe just a bigger thumbs up there. But it's still worth seeing, I think, because it is a bit unique, you know. And if you like Liam Neeson, he's a great actor, obviously, with his action movies and everything. So
yeah,
I would suggest checking it out.
Okay. Well, you know, he's a great actor. Another great actor is Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
I loved Bubble Boy. That's one of my favorite movies
of
all time.
That was funny.
Yeah, you know, that was before Jake Gyllenhaal was
famous, yeah.
Yeah, and I wish that he was still doing stuff like that. I mean, I love a lot of his movies now, but, you know, you got to kind of switch it up. He was great as Bubble Boy. One of these days, we're going to do a My Favorite Movies of All Time show.
A bunch of Howard Stern Whack Pack people were in that movie.
Yes, there was a lot of interesting
people. Beetlejuice. And
he was in
others.
Bubble Boy?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to check this out. I love little Beetlejuice. Yeah,
you're going to love
Me and Dave used to listen to Howard Stern when he'd drive me to school when I was like 12.
Oh,
I
what kind of father
it.
Are you?
It was
That's
fantastic.
Not true.
It is very true.
No, I and, think he's disgusting.
No, stop that,
and Eric, you'll get this.
It's just radio. He's in character.
Do the Pledge of Allegiance right now.
Yeah. Say what?
The Pledge of Allegiance in
right.
Bubble Boy.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember I liked the movie. I thought it was funny.
Now, Joseph, as you're going through that, I just remembered I saw another movie, too, but go ahead.
I was going to say, who can't laugh at a guy in a bubble bouncing all over the place?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the thing that was greatest about that is that it was before Disney decided to kind of like move some of their production, you know, some of their releases to different studios. So everything had that Disney title, and parents were bringing their kids to see Bubble Boy, and Bubble Boy is very much not a kids movie.
Right. They moved it to Touchstone.
Yeah, Touchstone, and but that was like the eve of that, and so I remember sitting there as a teenager, and mothers sitting there with their
was it that
little
long
kids.
Ago?
I was late teenager, something like that. But, you know, I just remember seeing mothers walking out of the theater with their little kids during certain scenes of that movie.
Well, yeah, it was definitely not for small children.
No, but still under, you know, it's Disney's basically, you know, family. But before you say your next film, let me continue my Jake Gyllenhaal thought. Enemy was recently released to DVD. I kind of like flew under the radar here. It came out in theaters a few months ago, and it just came out on DVD, I believe, the end of possibly May.
Yes.
And Jake Gyllenhaal plays two characters in this.
Right.
He plays two guys. He is himself and then his double. A doppelganger. This is a doppelganger movie.
Oh, this looks good.
Basically, finds looks at a videotape, a movie, rents at the store, and sees himself as one of the supporting actors or, you know, extras in the film, and says, "Yeah, I was never there, but that looks exactly like me." Looks up this guy.
Do you ever see them together? Anyone?
You do see them together. You see them together, and they...
I know. I already know what the plot is.
You do? Okay. Yeah.
I'll keep it to myself.
And, you know, it's a difficult movie to review because I will just say the end of the movie, the last shot, you will be on Google within 10 seconds to try to figure out what that was about.
I think I've already figured it out.
Okay. Well, during the break, I want to see if you have any idea because there's a single shot of something that occurs, and it just... I was like... What does that have to do with anything? And I looked it up, and you know what? It actually makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense exactly what the movie is. If you have to think about it that hard, though, I have to give it a thumbs
up. Right,
down.
If you have to Google it. Then,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't walk out of the theater knowing.
Yeah, and had I known, had that really been obvious, at least in the end, had it been completely obvious what this movie was supposed to be, I could have given it a thumbs up. But no, I'm going to give it a thumbs down. Unfortunately, do not see Enemy. You know, unless you are a studier of film, you know, a researcher of film, you need to see exactly, you know, because it's interestingly done. So,
yeah.
What did you see?
It was actually probably close to a month ago, and I just forgot to bring it up, I believe. Of course, Mr. De Niro and Stallone getting back at it in the ring with one of my favorites and one of your not favorites, I believe. I could be wrong, Kevin Hart.
Yeah, not usually. No.
Not usually. I like him. I like him. And they just started filming, of course.
Ride Along 2,
yeah. And our favorite friend, Ken Jeong, will be in it.
And they...
Ken.
What was the one that he was just in just now?
How to Think Like a Man 2.
Think Like a Man 2.
I like the first one.
Yeah, that was in and out of theaters in 2 weeks. I haven't seen it
yet. Oh, okay.
We'll review it eventually.
I did like the first one, and About Last Night was pretty good, the remake.
I liked About Last Night. Yeah. I did not like
Michael Ealy's pretty underrated actor, too. But this, yeah, it seemed like a type of movie going in. It would be maybe like a fun movie. Peter Siegel directed it, and, you know, I think he did Anger Management with Adam Sandler. He's done some of that stuff, so I figured there'd be some goofy stuff. But kind of bring you back to the days of, you know, De Niro and Stallone. And I thought it did it pretty well. You know, it's not a great movie by any means, but it's one of those movies that if you just go in with a clear, open mind, it's entertaining. And so definitely if you haven't seen Grudge Match, I give it thumbs up. I would definitely say check it out. It, you know, it's funny, but it has, you know, some meaning to it if you really look into it clearly.
I remember I caught flack for my review of that because I said basically that it was, unless you like watching old people fight, and then anytime I say the words old and people together, then I get a lot of
you get a lot of flack for that. You do. Yeah, you do.
I do.
There's more to it than that.
Is there no such thing as an old person?
They have more experience.
I mean, Dave's sitting there.
Look at him.
Come on. Yeah. You guys are slacking. I had to pick up the slack on that
one. What's going on here?
We're just giving Dave a little break in the first hour and a half or so, and then we'll pick it up later with those old jokes. Okay?
Oh, while I'm sleeping, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, that's what we thought. He did fall asleep.
Oh, no, I'm doing research.
He falls asleep at normal times.
Oh, no, I'm doing. Oh, no, I say up late. Get up early.
I do remember that Grudge Match, Kevin Hart was my least favorite thing about the movie, and that's saying a lot.
I will say in this, as much as I like Kevin Hart, I thought he'd have maybe more screen time, or he did have screen time, but it's tough to put a word around it. Maybe he would be able to show his character personality a little more. Yeah. Maybe he didn't get that option. I thought the overall thing of it, I mean, there was some weird storyline sort of behind it. You kind of had to keep track, like, wait, who's this person? But again, I thought it was entertaining, and you know, if you like De Niro and Stallone and some of their old things, you know, kind of put this together with that.
Another comedian that you might go ahead.
I was just going to say, have they been in a movie together before?
I don't believe that they have. I think it was like one of those.
But when you think back, you know, Stallone with Rocky, De Niro with Raging Bull, and just all that, it's sort of unique how they tie everything in. You see some old pictures in the movie too.
Are they supposed to be Jake LaMotta and Rocky?
They're not. They're not, but that would be interesting.
It would have been better
if they would have done that. Yeah, it would have. Yeah, yeah. I was actually hoping going into it that maybe that would be the case.
And now, are you a fan of Arrested Development?
You know what, I am, but I've only seen a couple episodes. Mm-hmm. It's shocking because Michael Cera, Bateman, all those people are in it. Yeah. I haven't had the chance. Whenever I get this Netflix thing that everyone's talking about, I'll probably get a chance to catch up.
That newfangled Netflix.
Yeah, that they've been doing like 10 years that got a hold of.
Well, you know, Jason Sudeikis, Bateman. Jason Bateman. Jason, I did the accent, and then I needed to, like, reprocess in my head. Jason Bateman directed a movie, came out a few months ago, called Bad Words.
Yeah.
And basically, it's Bad Santa with for the spelling bee.
Probably. Oh, okay.
I saw the trailer, and it did not look good to me.
No, it did not look good to me either. I did not see it in the theater. Did not see it during the screening. There were some issues with the screening. They decided they wanted to screen it like four times all in the same theater. I don't know how that makes any sense. You spread it out so that the press can see it in other areas. Otherwise, you have to wait for coverage until it comes out on DVD, which is why they're getting it now. It's going to be available, I believe, this coming Tuesday, Bad Words.
It's already out for Redbox or
It either came out last Tuesday or I think it actually might be this coming Tuesday.
What do you guys make of Catherine Hahn?
She's a good actress. I like her.
I agree. She's what I call, it's very unique because in some movies I see her in, like in Step Brothers, she's fairly attractive, but then she could
is
be in another movie.
With a K.
But then other things you see, it's like, still a good actress. Don't mean any disrespect by it, Catherine, because we know you're listening. But it's interesting how she could go. And it's not just because of necessary. Part of it's maybe a character she'll play, but it's just her physique changes quite a bit. She'll be curvy, and then she'll lose the weight, curvy again, lose the weight. So it's sort of interesting. But when she's curvy, pretty attractive.
Yeah, I see who you're talking about. I recognize her, but I didn't know that was her name.
Yes. Yeah. Now you do.
She, of course,
now
things
I do.
You learn.
She's in Bad Words. And she's got a pretty significant role in the film.
And Ben Falcone, of course, husband of Melissa McCarthy.
He's got a small role,
I think whatever I see him in, he's brilliant. I think, you know, it's usually smaller roles, and it's usually roles with his wife, because he cast her in a lot of his movies. I didn't see Tammy, of course, and I probably passed. But yes, one of those guys, too, where you see the face, but you don't put the name to it, and then, you know, now you do. You go, well, he's married to Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Well, Bad Words
tons of fun.
Is basically Bad Santa with Spelling Bee. He's a grown man who wants to participate in children's Spelling Bee across the country, and they can't do anything about it because there's nothing in the rules that prohibits it, because he has not passed the, you know, whatever grade that, you know, because he dropped out of school.
Sounds almost like Billy Madison jumping back.
Kind of. Only Billy Madison had at least some heart. This is a very mean-spirited movie.
Really?
Oh, I might like that.
You might like it. You know, and there are things I almost feel like giving it a thumbs up, because it's brave. It tries so hard to offend. But it is just a very mean-spirited movie, very, very mean-spirited, and he does things with the kids that, you know, kids should never be exposed to. I'm not talking about anything like, you know, inappropriate, right. But yeah. I'm saying that he bad words. Yeah, basically, bad words, and shows them certain things on women, and you know.
That's in a lot of movies these days.
Yeah, it is, but he does it, and he is, I don't know, he's just a very mean-spirited character.
Like I said, watch that show, Sons of Tucson. That involves children. It's very funny, though. Yeah.
And so I cannot recommend seeing Bad Words. I have to give it a thumbs down. And finally, one other DVD, it's coming out this coming Tuesday, Blu-ray and DVD, is, and conveniently so, you know, Blu-ray, Blue Rio... Rio 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the bird movie.
Yes.
Came out because that's the name of the bird, too. Oh, his feathers are blue, and he's a blue macaw, and his name is Blue.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm connecting the dots here.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you ever see Rio? Anyone?
No.
Ever
Neither.
Seen Rio? No, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I remember seeing it several years ago, and it's from the same studio that brought us Ice Age, all the... We will in a moment, yeah, and we'll take a break in just a second. But Rio 2 is the first one I did not care for. I thought that it was just a lot of chaos, especially at the end. It was just noise and music, and the only thing good about the first Rio was that first song in the movie. If you know the movie,
her name is Rio. No. She don't need to understand.
Duran Duran in the house.
Wow. Okay. Well, I. It's not that one, but it's another song from Rio.
Great song.
And I remember they play it on a loop in Fry's Electronics, which is interesting. They've got, you know, because it's a great song to show on TVs, because it shows off all the colors.
You spend your days at Fry's Electronics.
No, it's just when you walk in, you know, they got it on all the TVs, because it's a song that, like, it shows off the audio and the visual and all
Very
that stuff.
Good. Yeah.
So that, I love the song. I hated the first Rio, but you know how much I hated Wolf Creek, the original Wolf Creek?
But
and
you
I said I loved Wolf
one.
Creek
you
2.
Love
Wolf
one.
Creek 2 is okay.
You saw Wolf Creek too?
I saw it the other day on Netflix.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
That newfangled thing.
Yeah, wow. Well, we'll talk. I want to come back to that in two segments from now. But you know, real briefly here,
sure,
Rio 2. No, I hated Rio 2.
Oh, really?
The only thing that Rio 2, the only thing that was good about the first Rio was that song. The second one doesn't even have the song, so I have to give it a thumbs down. Do not rent Rio 2. It's just a lot of chaos. You know, I started to like it almost as it went on, but the first half of it is absolutely unwatchable. So, sorry, do not see Rio 2. There are a lot better movies out there for kids, including Frozen.
Yes.
We will talk about that in a special news segment coming up. But we need to take a break, because we got a really special guest coming up. Coming up after the break is... this is a different song. 8, sorry. 8. I didn't change the number.
Joseph, you're
confusing. We have a fight in here.
I'm sorry.
We have a fight. De Niro
number
and Stallone.
Eight. Okay. After the break, we're going to have on actor Tao Penglis to talk about his book, Places, The Journey of My Days, My Lives. But right now, from Ed, Walk of Life, Dire Straits. Did you ever see Ed?
Yeah, Mr. Ed.
Yeah,
no.
Matthew McConaughey.
About the baseball player.
No,
little baseball playing monkey.
Yeah, with Joey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Joey
yeah.
from Friends.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg.
I do have a question. I have
no,
a
No, I thought she
question.
Was in one of those movies.
I think she
no,
was.
No, she was in Eddie
those
about
movies.
The basketball
That's great.
Movie. Yeah.
Joseph,
phenomenal film.
I what? Have a question.
What?
How does Greg know all these things Is he like a film columnist like you, where he stays home?
Columnist
or whatever.
By the way, just to clarify,
when
I
was in high school, my senior year,
Joseph.
Oh, yeah, I didn't go to school.
No, I went to school half day, but I worked at a video store at night for about a year, and then the first year in college.
That's right.
And the manager and assistant managers there, they would always talk about movies, and we would be there till 12:30 when the store closed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's nothing else to do.
Unlike in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes,
I took film class.
The gorilla.
Columnist.
The gorilla in Ed was just a guy in a costume.
Columnist. Am I right? Columnist.
Columnist.
That's how they did it in those days. It just had to be a dude in a costume.
Yeah.
All right, and this is 1480 AM KPHX Breakthrough Entertainment
Ape
Live
Show.
Phoenix. And do your monkey talk again? If you want to date Joseph, call 602-252-1480, and he will do that sound for you in any position. And we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Yes, it's a good day for singing a song, and it's a good day for moving along. Yes, it's a good day. How could anything be wrong? A good day from morning till night. And it's a good day for shining your shoes, and it's a good day for losing the blues. Everything to gain and nothing to lose.
And it's a good day for listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Wow, I said that like I was angry.
Nice.
Anyway, this is Dave Isaac. Joseph Erdo's right across from me, the great film columnist, Greg Isaac, the great communist. No, I mean the great political person.
What?
Just kidding about that.
Not great at anything.
Sports politics.
And the great Eric Reiner,
and
producer and columnist of the columnist.
Yeah.
Say that three times.
G- good try. And this is Peggy Lee from Gorillas in the Mist. This is our Ape Show. It's a good day. And it is a good day. You know why it's a good day?
Why?
Because we have on a really special guest. I am totally excited right now.
Because this is one of your favorite shows.
It is. I watch it. Well, he's been on several things. And he's here.
Because you have so much time on your hands.
Okay. I've watched Days of Our Lives ever since I was just, for as long as I can remember.
When you were first born.
Yes. And you know who I know? He used to be a really bad guy.
Who?
Tony DiMera.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you hear the word DiMera, you know the phoenix is rising. And I believe that the phoenix will rise again because right now we have on world traveler, actor, and author Tao Penglis to talk about places, the journey of my days, my lives. Tao, did I pronounce your name even mildly correctly?
You're almost there.
Okay.
Tao.
Okay.
Oh, Tao.
Tao, excellent. Well, it's an absolute honor to have you on. A big fan of Days of Our Lives, and you also, of course, people know you from General Hospital. What was your character's name on there?
Victor Cassadine.
Excellent, excellent.
I watched that.
Okay.
Yeah, I was the only character that wasn't killed off during the Ice Princess story in the early 80s, and whereas on Days of Our Lives, I was killed 6 times. So it was nice to go back to resurrect a character that didn't have to explain his death.
Wow, okay. Well, you know, and I want to talk about your book in just a second, but since you mentioned that, Tony, well, you played both Tony and Andre DiMera, they're both dead. But that doesn't mean anything in soap opera land. Is there any chance that that you'll be back?
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm not one to jump from one show to another. I liked playing Tony all those years and Andre. I thought it was a great challenge playing two characters. But now I'm doing the General Hospital, and that's where I'm focused on. But I have to give my thanks to all those years of working with NBC. It was a great experience, and also it was what allowed me to write this book because I was afforded to be able to pay for all these journeys in the Middle East, especially.
Absolutely. You know, and as I said, you are a world traveler and you're an author now, too. The book is called Places, The Journey of My Days, My Lives. And let me tell our listeners a little bit about the book. This is directly from the book. You've enjoyed Tea for Two with Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis and fitted Robert Redford for a suit, suggesting that the then matinee idol shed a few pounds before landing career-defining roles on General Hospital and Days of Our Lives. You have pursued a career as an actor to fund your unyielding desire for spiritual and exotic travel and became one of daytime television's most enduring characters on Days of Our Lives. Your memoir, again, called Places, The Journey of My Days, My Lives. It comes out this coming Tuesday, weaves your deep Greek and Australian heritage with Hollywood escapades and captivating journeys to places few visit. I've seen some of the photos on your Facebook site. It's just, you know, beautiful places that you have visited. So tell us, what can our listeners find in this book?
Well, I've been to Egypt 10 times. I went to Syria and I went to Lebanon. I was attacked by Hezbollah, thinking I was an Israeli spy.
Wow.
The Mossad in Israel surrounded me, thinking I was a terrorist. I was followed by secret police in Syria. And so I thought that there were some stories to tell here, especially with people who can't afford to travel. I thought I went to some really exotic locations and also very spiritual places. I also wanted to go to the places where the Holy Family escaped from Herod up and down the Nile for 2 weeks, which these places are sacred spaces, and I wanted to know what it was like and what they went through. So I decided to write the book because finally at this stage of my life I felt I had a foundation of which I could say something rather than it just being some kind of a homage to acting or to what the years were like acting. I thought it was much more interesting that what made my acting interesting was the fact that I was able to do these journeys and come back to work and use this energy and this understanding, which I think gave the idea that I was able to last that long for 28 years on Days of Our Lives.
Oh, without a doubt. And so when did you start actively traveling, where you considered, okay, I want to go to all these places? And what was the was it really your heritage, or what was kind of the spark that made you want to experience?
I always love archaeology. Okay. I was always interested in the past. I wanted to know how the history of those places, especially in the Middle East. The Arab invasion was in the 7th century. I wanted to know what happened before. I was very interested in the Crusades, so I went to Syria for that reason. I had become an American citizen, and when I traveled for the first time with my American passport, I arrived at in Syria and Damascus, and they wanted to know why I would want to be in their country. And I said, because of their history. And they looked at me quite severely, and they said, our history? I said, yes, the one before you. So they threw the passport in my face, and I thought, oh, this is what it's like to be an American these days in the Middle East. So I was followed around a lot, but I had an extraordinary time, and I saw a lot of these places that have been bombed today, which is very sad, a lot of the heritage sites. And it's the leadership, it's not the people. The people I've found in the Middle East are exciting. Egypt, I've been back that many times because there was always some new discoveries being made. And when I was a kid, I remember when I was 12 years old, we went to an exhibit, and there was one from the Golden Age of Egypt. There was a sarcophagus there with a mummy in it and a pharaoh. And so it was roped around, and I was very curious about the hair and the nails and the fact that the nails still grew after all those centuries. And then I decided to climb over the ropes and open the casket myself and touch the hair and touch the nails. And, of course, I was reprimanded and caned 4 times for doing it. But I think that's where it all started when I look back at it. My curiosity took the best of me. So somebody said to me, why did you become an actor? I said, so I could journey. Yeah, so that's what I did.
So Tale, you know, in your book, Places, A Journey of My Days and My Lives, how long did you travel? How long did it take to write the book?
I really started seriously with the book 2 years ago. I had written 8 stories, and I just kind of left them behind because I was very busy with work. But it was really last summer. It's really the first chapter along the path is really how I came to America. I was in the diplomatic corps. I was an immigration official. I had interviewed a psychic for Scotland Yard, who told me at that interview that I would take a free trip to America, and that's where I would stay. And by the time my 30s would arrive, I'd be playing a diabolical character, and I thought it was a lot of crap because I'm not interested in being an actor. But I did get a free trip. It did happen on the date he said I would go, and so I took it, and I thought, well, what will happen? And when I took my first acting class, just as a guest, I was told to go up on the stage, and I didn't want to go because I've never acted before. And by the time I finished, the teacher told me that I really wasn't an actor, and she couldn't tell the difference between me and the chair. So I was, I had a lot of, as an actor, you have to unveil yourself. You have to take off the mask that we put on to protect ourselves through life. And as an actor, you've got to strip yourself naked in order to reveal what it is the character is saying or doing. So it was all those years. So the first chapter is those years, having tea with Jacqueline Kennedy or in the fashion world that I went into. And just last year, I thought, well, why don't I finish this and make it a book? And then when I presented it to the publisher, she loved it very much. And then she said, but you don't have a chapter here on Days of Our Lives. And I didn't want to write a chapter because I didn't think that was a journey. But then I thought, well, it is a journey, really. I mean, it was a journey within a studio, creating a life. And it was painful because, when you die 6 times on a show, it's not a happy moment. And so, and each time it was more violent than the last. So I kept on asking my producer, why can't I just disappear up in the stairwell or something and not come back for a while? And he says, oh, no, you'll be back. And I said, no, I won't. And that was it. So I never went back.
I want to get back to your book in a second, but I'm always curious about the soap operas. I mean, very popular, no doubt about it. How does that differ than, being on a soap opera? I assume there's a lot of work. It's daily. Maybe not many breaks. I'm just assuming right now versus making a movie or a TV nighttime TV series. Can you explain the difference and what you like most about being on the soap opera versus other theatrical?
That's a good question.
Theatrical. Thank you. Other mediums of acting.
Let me put it this way: when I did the series Mission Impossible, and I played a multifaceted character. We would do maybe 3 pages, sometimes 4 a day. The last time I worked on General Hospital before we took our break, the last day I was there, I had 17 scenes to shoot within 2 hours.
Wow.
We're talking about over 50 pages of dialogue. So the difference in doing, the luxury of doing nighttime or film is the fact that they usually will say, well, let's try this, or they do with different angles. They shoot with one camera, whereas in daytime we shoot with three. It is such a pace now, daytime. It is unrelenting. I mean, it's 5-4-3-2, next scene, 5-4-3-2, next scene. So you really don't, you really have to be on top of your dialogue. And, you know, memory is the muscle, and hopefully you think, you know, you can remember all this stuff. Otherwise, you know, you hold up production, that's expensive. So daytime is pushing the bar. We're at the edge now. I mean, I don't know how many. We do like 6, 7, 8 shows a week. And so you can imagine in a week in a movie, you may do 20 pages.
So I'm thinking then that might stifle creativity and to improvise things in daytime TV because it's all such a fast pace.
Yes, well, you don't improvise very much in daytime TV.
So you have to stick to the script?
They're very serious about their dialogue. You know, I've learned it that way. The way I learned was the producer said to me one time when I looked at that many scenes to do in one morning, and she said to me, you look at things one scene at a time, and that's how I do it. I give it a name for each scene, so when I look at the scene, I know exactly what it's about. But, you know, you usually only get one take. Unless you stumble, and producers do not like you to stumble these days. They're going against the time, and so that's why daytime, as at least the 4 shows that have lasted, is because they've been able to do this and take the actors to an edge. Where I'm afraid sometimes, you know, you're wondering how far they can go.
Right. Yeah.
And it's now at a point where, you know, I go back after the hiatus. I'm always playing diabolical characters, which I like because there's much more of a playground than playing the hero, because the hero is, unless you've got a great villain, you don't have a very good hero.
Yeah, so, and Tony wasn't always, you know, bad. At one point he came back and he was kind of the peacemaker. Kind of.
I don't remember those days. I don't remember when I was really nice. Charming, maybe, but no, it's...
You want to
do... I don't know. I think it's my tone. I can be very sharp. I know how to communicate dialogue pretty well these days. I'm a very straight shooter. So, and I also, you know, it's a dance. And I like to fight. You know, you get away with murder, and so, you know, in real life you don't. You're arrested, put into prison. Whereas when you're playing it, you know, take your clothes off afterwards, and then you go home, and you know, you're the person you are.
And you get to die, you know, several times, but that doesn't happen in real life.
Yes.
Well, apparently that's not fun. But hey, I have a question for you. I'm looking on the internet here, and there's a picture of you dressed as a nun. What's that from?
That was Days of Our Lives. It was a period there where the other character, Andre, that I was playing, was escaping. And they put me in a nun's outfit. They put me, they dressed me up as a woman in a gym. I'd never been in drag before, and it was not something that was rather appealing to me. And I remember how ugly I was as a broad. And I, during the shoot, there was a mirror there. I looked into it, and I thought, and I just ad-libbed, you look like some old hooker from Brazil. So it was not, you know. And so when the nun outfit came, just like in Mission Impossible, I would take the masks off for the audience to see and rip the mask off and the hair or whatever I had on to disguise myself. But when I did that, the director did not like me revealing myself after I was a nun. I said, the audience wants to see that. Let me tell you, because I've done it enough times, that I took the nun's habit off And that was it. But, oh, my God, when I saw how ugly I am as a woman, I said, when they played, I had to play a nurse. I said, I want to be an old nurse. I don't want any glamour. I said, you know, give me these glasses and give me this old wig and old shoes and an old sweater and stuff my breasts and give myself a certain walk. And it was, I found that was much more fun. The hooker was just awful. I mean, there's nothing like coming on a set in drag and the entire crew goes into applause and laughs their heads off. That doesn't help you as an actor. So I knew I was not going to get a date from that outfit I was wearing.
So is that one of the most uncomfortable or challenging times as an actor in your career? Or can you think of other things that, as an actor, is very challenging for you as you recall from your past?
Well, I think one of the most challenging was when I was doing Mission Impossible and I had to put those masks on. And it was long before, you know, it was a mask that I couldn't see through. And so I would have to wear it for 3 hours, and the claustrophobic feeling behind that mask, because I couldn't see. The breathing was difficult. I had to put a straw in my mouth so I could breathe through the mask. That was so that when I took the mask off, I would get there at 3 a.m. It would take 4 hours to do it. And then when I took the mask off, it was daylight. And so I had to not react to the light. So I would always have my head down because the adjustment was rather severe. That was pretty hard. The other thing is playing a lot of disguises in daytime, the rush to get from one to another and still have your dialogue intact was very challenging. Even when I played the clown that I was nominated for, I found that to be a lot of fun. It took a couple of hours to put all the makeup on, but the one thing about getting those disguises, it frees you. There's something that happens when you're not yourself and you can get away with murder. And so I loved the freedom it gave me in the character. When I played the clown, I came in doing pirouettes and diving onto the bed to seduce this woman and scaring her to death. Those things were wonderful to experience. And then it's over. You know, it's one take and next scene and the next scene. And so that's why the book, in a way, I felt I needed to write about all these experiences. It's more on the journey, mm-hmm. because, you know, there are a lot of couch travelers in our society, and also they can't afford to travel, a lot of people. So in some way, the book gives you some revelations, because I always believe that when you take a journey and you leave that front door, and when you come back through that door again, something about you has changed. I like that. It was my way of educating myself, not being told what I had to study or I had to learn. It freed me in a sense about what I wanted to see and what I wanted to come back and understand about who I was through it.
You know, our theme next week is the sex show, it's called. And but I do have a question. I always wanted to ask an actor or an actress, you know, this question. I suspect you've done love scenes before on the soap operas, right?
Oh, more than you can ever imagine.
So I want to ask you, how is that? I'll leave it wide open. I mean, from an actor's point of view, how
feel
much...
like you'd be missing out?
Yeah, I think I may change professions.
Dave can only wish.
Yeah, exactly. But so, I mean, does that take, is it challenging? Do you sort of get lost in that sometimes?
Well, let me put it this way. The makeup that I had, the color makeup on my face, compared to the makeup of the woman that I was making love to, when you'd get into bed with them, she says, now don't kiss me here because your makeup will come over here. And don't kiss me so much on the lips because the lipstick will go everywhere. And don't go down here because then you're going to reveal my breast. So it's not something that you go in and you think you're going to conquer or make love to. It's all an adjustment. It's all by the numbers. It's different if you're standing and you bring a woman into your arms and you kiss her. That's wonderful. But not when you get into bed, because there are angles with the cameras and you can't do this and you can't do that. And I remember an actress really upset me one day when she said, no, you can't do that, you can't go there and all this. So during the scene when we shot it, I went right down to her breast and exposed it.
Oh. All so right. You convinced me. I want to change.
So they're really topless under the covers?
No, but, they're very alluring because they wear, you know, sheer things. And
wow.
And all the soap opera actors and actresses are all so good looking. And, I mean, yeah, so.
Wow.
But,
you know, when they finish, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, finish the scene, the actress gets out of bed like nothing happened. So it's not like you've dated somebody.
Now, bam, thank you, ma'am.
No, I'm sure there's some time in your career that they wanted to stay after, right?
Oh, there's been some affairs. You know, I've walked in on
well, I don't mean that, but I mean, you know, like they get out slowly and maybe even smoke a cigarette. Okay,
well,
just kidding.
Well, you know, again, the book is called Places, The Journey of My Days, My Lives. And Teo, one final question, you know, because you've got such great fans of both General Hospital and Days of Our Lives, and you've got book signings. That's the benefit to, you know, being releasing a book. People are going to go out there and meet you. I mean, I've done some of these meet and greets. I remember when I was young, I met Brian DeTillo, Lucas from Days of Our Lives, and he must have thought I was insane, just this little kid that was like jumping up and down, so excited to see this guy. Tell me about the experience meeting with the fans of these shows, and you know, has that been fun so far with the book?
Well, I start next Sunday in Brentwood at the Diesel Bookstore. I'm going to do a book signing there. I have another one coming. I have three of them so far. I want to travel the States. I'm going to go to Greece because they know me well. Then also want to go back home to Australia. But is it, you know, it's interesting to see the people that you appeal to. Their responses, some are so nervous they can't even shake your hand, or they're so embarrassed. So you have to put them at ease. You know, they want to be hugged. They want to kiss you. I mean, it's just, you know, suddenly you've come off the television screen that they see it daily, and they can't believe you're there with them.
Your family, basically.
Your family. But just as a last thing, there was one young girl who was 16 years old who was dying of cancer, who had a huge a crush on the character of Tony. And when I was doing a PA out in the Midwest, I had the mother called and said, could he come and visit my daughter? And I did, and I took her roses. And the expression on her face when I walked into the hospital room was, I couldn't believe it. She was in shock because it was a big surprise. And they only gave her a few months to live. And I told her that I just signed a contract to be on Days for another 4 years. And that girl, who was supposed to live only for 3 months, ended up living for 4 years. And once Tony left the canvas, the young girl died.
Wow.
So in many ways, you know, people have fantasies, or I think it's always very important because we all are human, and there are some actors who think they're more than that. But I think, you know, I'm very grounded that way with people. I don't want them to think that they're shaking the hand of something important rather than meeting somebody that they've always liked. Because when they leave you, you want them to leave you with a good feeling rather than, you know, arrogance or they didn't like you. For me, the important thing is to do it well, and so the embrace is important.
Great. Well, you know, I really hope that you do travel the States with this book. And again, the book is called Places, The Journey of My Days, My Lives. I'm receiving my copy, I believe, in the mail today or, you know, possibly on Monday. I cannot wait to take a look at this and read this. I'm going to bring it up next week on the show. And
if you're going to travel the U.S., we'd love to have you in studio if you travel to Phoenix.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're great. And, you know, again, I know no hard feelings out there, to offense to the General Hospital fans, but I really hope that you do come back as Tony DeMero, because, you know, Eileen Davidson is on both shows. You know, she's coming back for a brief time here on Days of Our Lives. So Tony DeMero is a great character. So, you know, you've meant a lot to a lot of people, myself included. So thank you so much, Teo, for joining us and for, you know, basically being a part of a lot of families out there.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
What a great human being he is.
Yeah, I know. That was a great story.
That was phenomenal, and it shows the power of belief. I mean, it gave a meaning, a cause, a reason for this young lady, a young girl, to live another 4 years. It just shows the power, right, Eric? I mean, the power of belief.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say anything.
But still, it's phenomenal, Teo giving that of himself. Well, you got to honor someone like that.
And like I said, you know, the soap operas, that is the great thing about soap operas, that they're on every day, Monday through Friday, and you celebrate, you know, the anniversaries with them, you celebrate the holidays. They really do become
like a
part of your family. Yeah. And so you do get really sad when these characters pass away. And I mean, so I appreciate that he said that it's kind of hard for your character to die on a soap opera. And it's sort of like then I mean
right.
that's
and then bring you back. How do they do that?
Yeah, I mean, how do you do that?
It happens time and time. I mean, and then you got Sammy Brady, who has been on Days of Our Lives ever since she was just a little girl.
The Brady Bunch.
No, Sammy Brady. Of course, Allison Sweeney. She's one of the biggest daytime actresses out there right now.
How about Susan Lucci?
And she is leaving Days of Our Lives.
Oh, she is.
That was All My Children.
Yeah,
Susan Lucci. Yeah, but Allison Sweeney is leaving Days of Our Lives. After basically being there since she was just a little kid.
Where is she going?
People are devastated. People are furious over this.
Where is she going?
How old is she?
She is my age, a little older than me, I think.
That's it? Just
this
a baby?
Is absolutely but terrible.
But I'm saying that people grew up with this girl and this woman.
Yeah.
And, she was going to move on to spend more time with her family. But I think, actually, she's going on to direct episodes of General Hospital. So she might be working with Teo.
All right, not bad. Career change.
And I'm sorry, I apologize for pronouncing Teo's name wrong twice.
But that's okay.
Teo Penglis, the book is Places, The Journey of My Days, My Lives. Again, it's available on Tuesday, wherever books are sold.
I want to have him in studio if he does the tour.
Me too. I mean,
he seemed like a nice guy, and I think he forgave you for that, Joseph.
I think so as well. And so let's try to catch up with our music really briefly here.
Are we behind?
Yeah, we're behind because we didn't take a break. And I'm so glad that he spent that extra time.
You got 3 minutes to do it.
All right, so let's play a little bit from next song. This is Monkey Shines, the movie Glory of Love by Peggy Lee again.
I like Peggy Lee. She did Big Spender. Remember that, Eric?
I do.
That was a good one, right?
I remember this song, too.
Yeah. I don't remember Monkey Shines, but it was a horror movie, right?
No, it was a comedy.
It was a comedy? I don't know.
Yeah, it was with Brendan Fraser.
No, not that one. That's Monkey Bone.
Oh, okay.
That's coming
this
up.
This was a horror one.
I'm way off.
Monkey Shines is a horror.
The quadriplegic man has a trained monkey help him with his paralysis until the little monkey begins to develop feelings and rage against its new master. He's paralyzed.
Go ahead with the next one now.
I'm sorry.
Play Big Spender. I like that one. I do. I'll sing it then.
Okay.
I'm going to sing it.
Wow. It almost sounds like Joseph and Frozen, the duck.
Sounds like that.
What song is this?
Well, this is from Outbreak. A lot of monkeys in that movie, right?
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. If you don't love me, I'll kill myself.
Junior Gooding Cuba.
I'm sorry. Kill yourself. No, I'm kidding.
602-252-1480. If you don't love me, I'll kill myself.
Yeah, save Joseph's life. We call him Little Joe. Like Bonanza.
Yeah, yeah. So Outbreak, that's a decent monkey movie. The virus is spreading and all that.
Yeah, I like Dustin Hoffman. Yeah.
And whenever we want, we can play the last song for this segment.
What is that?
My Buddy. Bobby Darin.
Splish Splash. Right?
I was taking a bath.
Saturday night.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Rub-a-dub, I've been
stick to the ape sounds. You're good at that.
Of course, in Buddy, that's Buddy. Renee Russo was in Buddy.
Oh, I like her. Yeah. She was also in Lethal Weapon for a few times.
Yeah. And I believe Buddy was a big gorilla.
Yeah.
I don't remember
too much
about the movie, but I remember it was a big gorilla, basically a man in a gorilla suit.
Yeah,
again.
Like a Buddy.
Well, yeah, that was before CG days.
I know. But
it was a Buddy.
Now we're spoiled. We get Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and it gets a breakthrough.
But Buddy was good.
So this is Breakthrough Entertainment's Ape Show, and we've got a lot more coming up after the break, don't we, Dave?
Yes, we do. Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. That is Joseph turning into a monkey or an ape, a gorilla. I don't know. He's like the Hulk. He's green. He's strong.
Give me a banana.
All right. I'm just happy to see you.
I think there's one in the kitchen.
Oh,
okay,
is there?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. And we'll be right back.
And the touch of your hand, I long.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480.